always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart. And I love Italian, so you know. He's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right. It's Friday.
Is it Vic?
And I'm not saying that right. It's Friday.
That's what I need to say.
Hey, quick political cartoon before we move on.
Yeah.
The king is talking to his subjects and he says, "Our economy is in excellent shape. Yours, on the other hand."
Right.
Oh, man. Jamie Lissau is in the house.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Very quickly, we got Susie Moore in just a sec. First, Kathy from Harvard's on the phone. Can you welcome Kathy? Hold on there, Boston. Can you welcome her to the show?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing there, Kathy?
How you doing, my
Listen,
friend?
We got to get to
my
Susie.
Freedom friend.
You got a minute. Yes. Go ahead.
I went to the Scottish Highland Games last month, and they had the opening services, whatever you call them, and the woman sang the national anthem.
Hey, Kathy, I'm sorry. Real quick, Kathy, I'm sorry. Where was this?
The Scottish Highland Games.
Where?
Schroeder Park.
Where?
Schroeder Park.
Schroeder Park.
Go ahead.
You guys. Hey, you're cutting into my time here.
Go ahead.
So, right after she finished her last note, I yelled at the top of my voice, "Freedom!"
Way to go!
Freedom!
Did they cut you up like Mel Gibson? No, you made it out of there alive. That's good. So, just one quick question, and we're gonna have to let you go. Did guys throw telephone poles?
Oh, the cabers, yeah.
They throw telephone poles. That's one of the events.
Oh, that's crazy.
Telephone pole throwing or something. It's crazy.
Huge.
All right, Kathy.
They're not as thick as the regular ones, but they are quite tall.
Thank you for being a freedom fighter, Kathy. We love you.
Love you guys every day, man. Every day.
I'll meet you one day in Schroeder.
Enjoy your weekend.
You too. All right. Let's go.
Oh, Susie Q, baby, I love you. Susie Q.
We're not making fun of her.
No. I love her.
All
right, Susie Moore, deputy managing editor at redstate.com. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm wishing I could do a better impersonation of that accent. I love it.
Me too. You got to pack the card, have it.
I would need to spend a little more time listening to it to pick up on it, but it's I love it.
Just watch
Thanks,
some
Kathy.
Watch some Matt Damon movies. He'll get it going.
There we go.
All right. So one opinion I think is all that's come down from the Supreme Court so far this morning.
Five.
But they
five opinions.
They all came down already.
Yes.
Why do we miss these?
Because we can't look up at the Chiron all the time.
But I was even looking. I was
conducting a show.
Well, you know what? You're right. Thank
we're
you.
Trying.
Thank you for getting me out of that one.
Thanks, so, Susie. You're saving me, actually.
Let's take them one at a time. First of all, is the immunity thing done?
No.
What are they?
Count on that coming next Friday.
They're like, it's like going to a movie. You got to have the big, big dramatic. All right. So what decisions did come down today?
Right. Well, and just so you know, I mean, before, at the beginning of this week, there were still 24 decisions left to go. They got four out yesterday. They handed five down today. So there's still 15 more. Next week's going to be busy.
Yikes.
And what happens is, right at 9 o'clock our time on the days that they're handing them down, they start handing them out, and they come out about every 5 to 10 minutes. So you'll get a whole batch of them in a row. And so that's why you probably saw the one about the Second Amendment.
Yes, yes.
Other ones, they're still being analyzed because they're maybe a little bit more in depth and they can't just be kind of, you know, quoted in like a real quick snippet. But the ones that came down today, the big one, of course, was Rahimi, which was the Second Amendment one. That one had to do with a law that prohibited people who are subjects of a domestic violence restraining order from obtaining or possessing firearms. And the short of it is the court said, yeah, under those circumstances, it's okay to restrict that right. In other words, the right isn't 100% absolute. There are times when it's okay to restrict it, just like sometimes convicted felons are supposed to be, you know, they're prohibited possessors of firearms.
Right.
In this instance, somebody who's in the middle of a domestic violence dispute, perhaps they're, you know, should be the, they're saying the law can be applied here. It's not unconstitutional. So people are going to see that in different ways, I realize, but that's the small of it.
Yeah.
The crux of it.
I mean, I'm all for convicted felons and having guns, right?
Right. I mean, there's a due process argument against it, which is why Clarence Thomas has a dissent in that case. But you can kind of see the arguments on both sides of that, I think.
All right. What else?
All right. What else? Today, there was Texas versus New Mexico and Colorado regarding water rights between the states. It has to do with the states entering a consent decree among themselves and whether the federal government can get involved. And I haven't, in fairness, had a chance to really digest it. So that's kind of one of those. It's going to take a little time to read through and absorb. But it also could have some further implications if you're talking about other potential state compacts like the popular vote compact, that sort of thing.
Right.
So look for analyses on that one. There was state versus munos. That one had to do with whether a non-citizen spouse of a U.S. citizen, if it violates the Constitution to deny them a visa. Mm. So that's an immigration one, and that's going to probably make some liberal heads explode because they say, no, that's not.
We love it when that happens.
That's not a constitutional violation, so you're going to hear some sob stories over that, which some of them may have some merit to them, but that's that one. There's Erlinger versus United States. That one is whether it has to do with criminal procedure and sentencing, and basically whether if someone's committed three violent felonies, if a judge gets to determine whether those were committed on separate occasions so as to kind of trigger one sentencing guideline, or if that's up to a jury. The court said it is up to the jury, and the jury has to make that decision unanimously. So that's probably going to ping some radar as far as, okay, does that have some further implications, say, in relation to Trump's Manhattan trial?
Mm-hmm.
It could. I'm not going to say that for sure it does, because, again, I haven't had a chance to read this.
Just came out. You can't expect you to know.
Yeah, exactly. I'll have my skinny on SCOTUS out later today on that.
All right.
And hopefully be able to at least look at that. And then the last one today with Smith versus Arizona, which had to do with the Confrontation Clause.
Okay, let's talk about something else. Right now, there's a hearing about possibly removing Jack Smith from the classified documents case because he was appointed illegally. Is that close?
That is close. So there's a series of hearings that Judge Cannon is hosting in the classified documents case. One set of hearings is today, and then there's two more next week. And the one today, I'm trying to get to the actual crux of the one today, because there's a couple different issues.
I didn't know that.
One of them has to do with the appointment clause and whether or not he was properly appointed. One of them has to do with the appropriations clause and whether the funds were properly appropriated to fund his office. One of them, here we go. I've got my little list. Yes, today is on the appointments clause challenge. So this goes to whether or not he was properly designated for that role under the appointments clause of the Constitution. Then on the 24th, which is Monday, there's going to be an argument regarding the appropriations clause, which also goes ultimately to Jack Smith's validity, if you will. And in the afternoon on Monday, there's an argument regarding Smith's request to modify Trump's conditions of release. Basically, I think he's trying to kind of change the parameters of the gag order in their case. And then on Tuesday, there's an argument regarding Trump's motion to dismiss, basically saying the raid itself was not conducted properly and they improperly got to communications between him and his attorneys. So there's a whole lot of, nothing's going to be decided today or even next week. These are complicated motions. They've been on the docket for a while. You've got multiple people weighing in on them. You've even got people that have filed what they call amicus briefs or front of the court briefs on this, including some of my former law professors. And I'm sure Judge Cannon is going to take her time and make sure she, does her best to get these right. So it could be several weeks before we see rulings on these, but they're going to have some pretty significant implications for this case for sure.
Could it dismiss the case? Comes on,
it could. It could. There are a couple different bases on which the case could be dismissed. And then there's another motion that they just filed recently for spoliation of evidence or spoliation of evidence. It's spelled weird. People think it's spoliation. It's actually spoliation. Anyway, having to do with how the FBI conducted the raid and didn't properly preserve the order of the documents. And that's its own motion to dismiss, which will probably be argued in July. Those could all have implications here on top of the immunity decision and on top of the Fisher case. That both are going to come out next week. Fisher case would go to the J6 allegations. So there's a lot that's going to be happening.
We got to buckle up next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, and, you do.
And Susie, regarding the immunity case against Trump, mm-hmm. or saying that he's either immune or not, say he's not immune. Okay, is this going to have implications for Biden and any previous presidents or, say, vice president, anyone really in political office?
It absolutely could, and that's one of the key arguments here is, okay, you know, if you agree, and I think most people do, that you want the president in particular to have a certain degree of immunity so that that person can conduct their office and not be constantly, you know, basically frozen in place for fear that anything they do is going to get them either sued or thrown in jail. Then the question becomes, how broad is that scope? But that's going to be an input. I mean, they're not going to just decide this just as to Donald Trump. It's going to be a decision as to the executive office. Yeah. That's going to have implications. Yeah, I'm positive. That's going to have implications as to not only Trump, but also as to former presidents and future presidents. So that's why, I mean, that was the last case argued. It's probably going to be the last decision issued. It's going to be probably the most controversial, and everyone under the sun is going to light their hair on fire when it comes out. So,
I mean,
brace yourself.
If it comes out to immunity, then guess what? Joe Biden gets to skate on everything he's done, I guess, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. So that's why, you know, I think the court's going to be very deliberate and very careful in its decision, and they're probably going to make it as narrow as they possibly can. But yes, it is going to affect not just this president, but the 45th president, but the ones before him and the ones after him.
All right. I think CBS News needs to be investigated and all thrown in jail. First of all, let's talk about cheap fakes for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, clearly Barack Obama grabbed him by the hand and let him off, you know, like he's a third grader, when he clearly could have, he's so narcissistic, Obama, he could have walked up to Joe and just put his arm around him and say, look, this is my man, Joe, and just kind of steered him off the stage. But he decided to take him by the hand, right? And now CBS, when they run that video, they put a little disclaimer on that this is an edited video.
Well, okay. I would need to know more about what they're saying is edited. I mean, if the video is edited in the sense that it's shortened or that something has been taken out, I mean, that does need to be disclosed. But I agree that they're trying to spin it as though it is somehow misleading when, if you just watch the video, it's clear that's what happened in it. But that's the tack that a lot of the legacy media is attempting to take right now and run cover for Biden is by saying, oh, this is deceptive. It's, you know, take the cheap fake taken out of context type video.
Right. That's more of what they're doing. And who are they to run coverage for any politician? Just tell us what's going on. I mean, it's clearly not edited video in any way. It happened. The parachute guy comes down, right? And Joe Biden walks away, wanders away. Oh, that's fake. But why doesn't anybody call Georgia Maloney and say, hey, what happened there? K-Fi, what happened? I don't know. I just think so. What do you want to say?
No, I was just going to say, Susie, as an editor, I saw the two videos that they were showing on the news. One is from a side angle where you can see Joe's facial expressions, and that's what really lights things up for the people questioning it. The video that they're showing is not edited. What it is, it's a different angle. It's his backside looking at where he's looking, but it's showing the guys responding, looking at him, but it's not showing his response. And his response is what everybody's talking about, is he looks so comatose while he's looking at these two men.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. What I'm saying is I want to know what CBS is saying is edited before I, you know, say definitively that they're lying about it or just being misleading about it. What are they claiming has been edited? I don't know the answer to that question. What's very clear is that they and a lot of the other media outlets are attempting very hard to spin as hard as they can against the video evidence that we can all see with our very own eyes.
I blame me on all this because I should have it. I don't know. Selective editing of this video. I'm not sure exactly what they say, but it's like a little disclaimer that says that this is not the true video. I mean, what's the difference what it says? It says this is not the true video when it was the true video.
It was.
Anyway.
Yeah, again, I got it,
counselor. I get it. So one more thing. And CBS, what did they know about what's going to happen in the debate next week, right? CBS teases surprises from Joe Biden on the debate. And you know what? Sean Hannity is pissing me off because he says, well, I don't know if Joe's going to be drinking Red Bull or whatever. He's afraid to say juiced up on drugs. He's afraid to say it.
Yeah.
And he won't say it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what does CBS know that the rest of us don't know, first of all? And what is he going to be on when he gets into that debate?
Well, we probably won't be privy to that. And Sean may be trying to do a little CYA for Fox to make sure they don't run into a defamation situation, because if you accuse somebody of taking something and you can't prove they did.
Everybody else on the network says it. Everybody else on the network says it.
Well, then that's maybe Sean's just running scared. Well, so there you go. I don't know.
I think it's a weenie is what it is.
Well, maybe Joe's going to take a little advantage of that Coke that was found in the White House. I mean, that'll at least a couple hours get him going.
Leave it to Ken to go way overboard and everything. That's great. to our advantage, absolutely.
So, I mean, I think this is just one of those things where, you know, everybody's trying to hype the debate ahead of time, and CBS talked to some of the people in the, you know, in the camp or in the debate prep team, and they're like promising, hey, you know, he's going to have some surprises up his sleeve, so they're just running with that story.
What surprises could he possibly have?
Why would they know? Well, like you said,
and why would they know?
Right.
Because they're being told by the Biden team, look out, he's going to have some surprises. Be ready.
I agree with that, saying. Susie, but not every network is saying it. Only they're saying it. So are they just giving it? Because CNN is owned by CBS, you know? There's a lot of collusion. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
If they're doing their job, they should all be reaching out to the campaigns and asking them about their prep and getting statements from them. So, you know, sometimes one outlet gets a statement and the other one doesn't.
Right.
But clearly CBS talked to somebody who said this. That's not the issue. The issue is, like you said, what are the so-called surprises? Right. Will he have the questions ahead of time? I mean, here's the thing. The bar has been set so low for Joe's performance next Thursday that if he shows up and doesn't keel over,
it's a win.
You know, half the people are going to say that was a big win.
Right.
So
how tragic.
You know, most of this is just pre-show hype, and we're all going to be watching. We're all going to be transfixed, and it's going to be probably in a you-know-what show, and we'll be talking about it for several days after, I'm sure.
If I could consult Donald Trump, I'd give him two pieces of advice. First thing I would do when it's Joe Biden's turn to talk, since his microphone is going to be off anyway, I would just sit back, not even open my mouth, cross my arms, and say, go ahead, Joe, talk. And then when Joe Biden does one of his, one of those, if I were Donald Trump, I'd say, what was that?
Excuse me?
What'd you say? Excuse me? Can you say that one again? All right.
Hey, Susan, you ought to join us out to Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge for that debate party. It's going to be a blast.
I would love to, but as you might expect, I am going to be busy working.
That's
probably
true.
Yeah.
Night off for Susie.
Yeah, right.
Susie Moore, Deputy Managing Editor of RedState.com. Smoozy Q on Twitter. As always, thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Have a great weekend.
You got
it. You too, Susie.
Are you playing Sing, Sing, Sing?
Yeah.
God, I love this. All right. The debate watch party is at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, June 27th. That's a week from yesterday. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I know.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps will be out there doing their show from 4 till 6. Party starts at 7. Debate at 8. All brought to you by Freedom Principal Mo, St. Louis Young Republicans, and Eggers Heating and Air Conditioning. All the info is at newstalkstl.com. Jamie Lissau, who's going to be at the St. Charles Funny Bone, is next on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I do live in Alaska, and you probably know a lot about comedy if you've been to comedy shows before, and you probably know the best comedians in the world. You know, they live in New York City, right? They live in Los Angeles. And I live in Alaska because I don't like competition. Yeah, you guys, I am killing it up there, man. It's ridiculous. I'm not trying to brag, but it's like me and a moose that makes faces. Like, that's all there is. Like, I'm owning it. Like, I don't know if they told you guys, but right now you guys are watching the number one ranked comedian in Fairbanks, Alaska.
Right? And his name is Jamie Lissau. Jamie, how are you?
I'm really good. You know what's funny about that joke? First of all, I cringe hearing my own voice at all times.
I have to do it 2 hours every day and yeah. listen back to everything. Yeah.
There's a comedian in Alaska who got very upset that I said that.
Oh, because he thinks he's better.
Because he thought he was the, yeah, he was like, dude, you weren't born here. He goes, you were not born here. I don't think you can be classified as number. And I go, you're not really a comedian. Yeah. I feel like that's the more
more important
that
factor.
That parameter might be more important. Yeah, yeah. I'm so great. How are you, Vic?
I'm good. I'm not sure I understood this. So you voluntarily moved to Alaska?
It's a I'm gonna give you the briefest version. I met this girl 25 years ago in Alaska. We got married very quickly. You guys, I treated red flags in that relationship like I was an Olympic downhill skier, just slapping them on the way by. And so we got married really quick, and then we lived all over the place. And then one day she said, I would like to live near my family in Alaska. And we moved there, and I bought a house that it cost, I think it was exactly all my money plus 50%. And then we got divorced, I think, the afternoon we moved in. And then so now my kids are in Alaska, and that's my that's cross to there. Bear.
Yeah. Your tour is actually called the Divorced Dad Tour.
That's right.
So clearly lots of divorce humor.
Yeah, but I get along with my ex-wife. Like, she texted me right before the show. It says F you. It's
so there you go. Yeah, she has in contact.
We're in contact. It's all good though. I feel like I don't want to be that guy, but I feel like everything kind of does happen for a reason. And I feel like without the darkness, you don't see the light. Unfortunately, it doesn't really work in Alaska because it's always dark. But it's I feel like it all led to this place, and I wouldn't change a thing.
You're so positive.
I'm trying to be positive.
I want you to know I show off for you all the time, because last time you were in, this is our new place, by the way. You came down to the other place downtown.
Yeah.
This is our new
this is nice. Yeah.
And I asked you about Alaska being dark 6 months at a time. And I said, my God, I would stick a knife in my eye. And you said, you can't find the knife because it's dark. That quickly. And you didn't know I was going to
say
that.
I don't remember that.
It was, you did. You said a funny joke. You were a very funny young man.
When I used to drink, it was, the greatest thing was being blacked out drunk and then finding out what joke she said the night before.
Oh.
It's very similar to like being on the show last time. I have no memory. It's kind of fun. You go, I get to hear
so
it
you
fresh.
Were drunk last time you were here?
I was not drunk, but I was drunk for many years prior to that.
I know. I'm sorry. That was a stupid thing to say. So obviously everybody knows you from the Greg mm-hmm. Gutfeld show. And I'm going to ask you a question. And, you know, are you getting sick of the divorce jokes from him? Because they're getting worse, not worse, like not funny, but they're getting meaner and meaner.
Can I be honest with you? Can I be completely honest?
Yes.
When I go to the Funny Bone in St. Charles and there are people lined outside and selling out the show, I think to myself, Greg can say and call me whatever he wants.
Right.
It's so, I feel like it so resonates with people, and he really does. I just finished a 2 week trip with Mike. He says that I don't talk to my kids. We just went on like a 2 week trip together with my family. He knows all this, or I think he wouldn't make the joke. So it doesn't bother me. And I will say it's really nice how many people are upset by some of these jokes and they reach out to me online. But you know what I'm worried about? I would like to get your guys' opinion about this. So I'm at this coffee shop, and this dude comes up to me and he goes, oh my God, you're Jamie from Gutfeld. Can I ask you a question? I go, yeah. And he goes, is your character on Gutfeld, is it real or did you like make it up? He goes, like, are you really from Alaska? Are you really divorced? Are you really broke? And do you really never get laid? And I said, do you think if I could make up any character in the whole world, that's what I would choose?
I think I'd choose Superman before those characters.
Of course it's real. Yeah. And so my question, my sincere question, you guys, is I met a woman about a year ago. We started dating. I got engaged 2 weeks ago, and it's honestly the best thing that's ever happened to me. She's like, I never thought I'd get married. It's one of those things where we both never thought, and then it would just kind of happen. And I'm getting a little bit of pushback for being not miserable.
Oh my God.
Oh,
I'm
wow.
getting a little bit of like,
that's,
it's ruining
so
your whole thing. But part of me is like, well, who cares? Like,
right.
Remember Rodney Dangerfield? He would go, I get no respect. Yeah. And well, his 15th time on the Tonight Show, I go, I feel like you're slightly respected.
Right, a little bit.
You're on the Tonight Show 15th time. I go, I feel like it's kind of an act. And so at some point, when the rapper goes, oh, I don't have it. And you go, dude, you're driving 10 Bentley, like a blues musician that's successful.
Right.
You go, you don't want to hear the joy. Dude, what do you think about that? Because I sort of go, I'm still, my wife still did take all my money. I still have that jokes.
Right.
I still have Alaska, but I am losing a little bit of the miserable thing.
But listen, there's great comedy out of a great, healthy, happy marriage, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't there?
I don't know.
Like my wife, she knows she knows exactly what noise to make to get me off the couch to help, right? She could be doing something as easy as just wiping off the table. Or okay.
And that means?
Get up. And help.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's go.
It's like a dog whistle, man. I hear that noise. I'm like, oh, God, I got to get up.
And my fiance will do something even more subtle. She'll go, hey, get up.
No, see?
Yeah, it's just a little.
I guess after a while, she's just sick of me. Blues artist. I mean, I guess the ultimate blues song will be I Didn't Wake Up This Morning, right? I woke up this morning.
You're right.
All right. So
you're right.
That would be the ultimate. I didn't wake up.
My dog's still alive, but I'm dead.
Right, right. Rodney Dangerfield's my favorite thing to do. Can I do a couple seconds?
Yeah.
He's my favorite, but I have to get into him. Tough crowd. I went to the doctor the other day. He said, you're sick. I said, I want a second opinion. He said, okay, you're ugly, too.
That's very good.
That's it. That's all I got.
Do you want to hear a quick Rodney Dangerfield thing?
Yeah.
So I used to work with this comedian named Harry Basil. We were just talking about him. He works with Jamie Massad at the Laugh Factory. He books all the Laugh Factories. He used to be Rodney Dangerfield's opening act.
Oh, wow.
In Vegas, which is like, he was only in Vegas for a while at the MGM. I meet him on the road, this guy, Harry Basil, and we just hit it off. And he goes, if you're ever in Vegas and you see Rodney's there, I'm always opening for him. Hit me up. And I didn't know how comedy worked. I don't know if people just said that and they didn't mean it.
Right.
And I'm in Vegas and I'm with a girl that I'm kind of trying to impress and we don't know what to do. And I look over and there's a billboard and it says that Rodney's there. And I go, wow. So I go to the ticket booth. I go, is there an opener? They go, I don't think so. And I go, oh, maybe he's not here. And I go, I'm not giving up just yet. I pick up a phone and I go, could I have Harry Basil's room, please? And they go, yeah, just a second.
How about that?
He answers. I go, dude, you probably don't even know me. I go, worked with you once. I go, I'm Jamie. I go, you said if I, he goes, I remember you come up to my room. I go up to his room. It's this beautiful suite. He's so nice to me and my girl. And he goes, the show sold out tonight. I'd love you guys to come. So I end up going to this Rodney Dangerfield show. We sit backstage and I get to meet Rodney. And it was so cool. I could see the difference between my friend's dressing room and Rodney's dressing room. Like, Rodney's room was gigantic, majestic couches. He had like peel and eat shrimp. My friend's room, it had like two folding chairs and then the shells from the peel and eat shrimp was in my friend's room. But I got to meet Rodney and I got to see him. At that time, he was getting up and he wore an earpiece. Oh, wow. And his wife would remind him of his jokes because he has so many jokes.
Yeah.
To remember them would be impossible. Yeah, I could never do it.
I can only remember four or five to do when I do them.
Yeah, it was a beautiful thing. He came in a robe, he had his robe going pre-show.
So this guy that warmed up for him was kind of like Dennis Blair to George Carlin, right? Blair warmed up
everything. He was his guy. And then Harry Basil, I think he wrote four of his movies. He wrote like Ladybugs, and I think he directed a bunch of his movies. And now he's extremely successful, opening clubs all over the country for the Laugh Factory.
Jamie Lissau, by the way, is at the St. Charles Funny Bone tonight. I've probably said that about four or five times before now. But I heard that you were at the bar, the heterosexual awesomeness bar, which is down the street. From there, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So how was that experience?
Wait, the heterosexual awesomeness bar?
Isn't that down by you? You said it on Gutfeld. You said I was in St. Charles and I went to the heterosexual awesomeness bar.
Okay, so now I know what you're talking about. Do you know about this? This happened in your town. So I think I might have missed. There's a bar in Alaska that has the restroom doors. Was it that one?
No.
Okay.
But I heard that joke, too. Can you tell that one real quick?
So I was at a bar in Alaska, and people got upset because they, you know, it's the whole gender thing. I think two genders is too many. They want there to be more than two. And there's this bar, and it has, on the restroom doors, instead of saying men and women, it has men and women's private parts on each door. And people are upset because they say there should be more. I go, I'm confused even the way it is because I'm a guy. I got a few beers in me. I see a door with a big woman's, you know. That's where I'm going. Right. I'm going in there. Maybe that's where they keep them. I don't want to be caught coming out of the penis room.
No, you want to come out of the other room.
I think what you're saying is, though, there was a story. I swear it was out of St. Louis. There's a restaurant here that was not allowing people under 30. Did you guys cover that?
Yep.
And I was just saying that I was performing in St. Louis. And at my show, I welcome women under 30. None of them have come yet. But I can't wait to meet one and see what all the fuss is about.
Usually I do the dirty jokes. That was pretty good.
Huh? I have like a little bit of an older crowd, which I love.
I love that too. We have an older crowd. All right, listen. We have a favor to ask you.
Yeah, anything.
Because Ken and I think we're semi-hysterical on the show. We try to be, at least.
Yeah.
And we made some stuff we wanted to get your opinion on. And we want you to be honest, all right? Don't fluff it, okay? No, blown smoke up the skirt. So you guys on Gutfeld, just this past Wednesday, were talking about people with TDS, right?
Yeah.
Trump derangement. You don't remember anything when you go from city to city, do you? That's okay. On Gutfeld, let me remind you. On Gutfeld the other night, you guys talked about TDS, Trump derangement syndrome.
Yep.
We did not know that there is a medicine for that.
Libs and never Trumpers, do you wake up every morning to the ringing of Trump's voice in your head? You may suffer from moderate to severe Trump derangement syndrome, or TDS. There is hope.
New MAGA strength Trumpanol. MAGA-donian approved.
I had it really bad, so I take the Ultra MAGA Trumpanol with extra covfefe. And now, instead of calling him criminal, I kind of like the bastard.
Side effects may include the desire to become pro-life, question the media, defund Ukraine, support Israel, wave the American flag, close the border.
Ask your doctor if Trumpanol is right for you. Make yourself great again with new Trumpanol.
What do you think?
I think it's great.
Ken wrote and recorded all that.
You did?
It was all Ken. Yep.
I thought you were doing a bit that you guys, that's really good.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Excellent. Did you guys see, I know there's a little Biden clip coming out of the break just now.
Yeah.
There was how they always say, like, oh, he takes stuff out of context. The people on the right, they don't show the whole thing to make him look dumb. Let me tell you something that they did. On the other side, there was a speech where Biden is up there and everyone's chanting 4 more years, right?
Right.
You see it and they go 4 more years. They don't show you the beginning of that. He goes, hey, what do you guys think the longest I'll live is? That's what he said.
Four more years.
Yeah, and they don't show. Yeah.
Right.
They cut that part out.
That's how half the crowd goes, 4 more years, if that. 4 more years, if that. All right, so Mike Lindell, MyPillow, right? Great products.
Yeah.
The first time I heard the commercial for the Giza Dream Sheets, this is what I thought.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to bring you the best price ever on my exclusive Gaza Dream Bed Sheets. If you're on the front line fighting Hamas, you need the best sleep possible on my exclusive Gaza Dream Bed Sheets, made from the finest cotton in the world, grown only in a region between the Golan Heights, the Dead Sea, and the West Bank. My Gaza Dream Bed Sheets will get you the great night's sleep you need to kill Hamas terrorists. Order now and get a pair of my pillow slippers to sneak up on those Hamas terrorists. Use the number on your screen and use the promo code Shalom. Please order now.
Very good, you guys. I'm extremely impressed.
Giza, Gaza. I couldn't have been the only person in the world that thought of that.
It was very good, very well written. Good production.
Nick wrote
excellent
that one.
Production. Really good.
Totally AI. We just threw it into an AI machine.
That's really good.
One more quick one.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you've seen the Jardians commercials on TV, right?
I don't know.
They're the musicals.
They look like they're a musical going on.
I'll be honest with you, I have not.
You don't watch a lot of TV.
I'm a streamer.
Okay.
Like, I don't watch commercials. Okay. Can I say really quick the thing about the pillow?
Oh, yeah.
I feel like the most brilliant thing is that guy at night, sometimes it's 3 a.m, and they're like, hey, you want knives? And I'm like, no. This guy's like, you want a pillow? Yes, I do. Yeah. I'm tired. But then I also wonder, is there somebody out there just laying watching TV and the guy's like, hey, do you need a pillow? And they're like, yeah, they just got their head on a rock.
Right.
And they're like, man, in 6 to 8 weeks, I'm going to be real comfortable.
No matter how many times I turn this rock, it's just not comfortable. 6 to 8 weeks.
I'm sorry, I don't know the musical thing.
That's okay.
Guys.
We're not going to play it because you don't know.
Did I ruin it?
Yes, you did. You blew the whole bit.
Do you want to tell me this quick context and we'll play it?
All right. So Jardiance is a drug where you control your A1C, diabetic people. And they have this song, you know, Jardiance. So we were saying, well, what if there were a Jardiance the musical?
Okay.
It's the tale of the little pill with a big story to tell. The Pfizer Broadway series presents by popular demand for 3 nights only. It's Jardiance the musical. February 29th, 30th, and 31st to the fabulous Pfizer Theater, starring that lady in the tan pants and that guy who didn't know that his copier needed to be plugged in to work. Don't miss your chance to see this blockbuster musical. Ask for your A1C discount. It's Jardiance the Musical, February 29th, 30th, and 31st at the fabulous Pfizer Theater.
song is all directly from the commercial.
It's good. I got it. I think you did a good job explaining the context.
I also think we completely ruined this entire thing because we did a Joe Biden. Jamie, we're supposed to talk about Jamie being at the funny bone. We made it about us.
I know.
That's what Joe Biden does.
That's what Joe Biden does.
He does. You're right.
Everything.
You know what I think about Joe's lying? I have a theory. You know how he'll say, like, oh, I fought in this war. I did. Yeah, my friend was a professional football player. And then you go, that's weird. It's not. I think that he existed before you could verify things that people said with Google.
That's exactly what we said.
Is that what you said? Because you could just, you used to be able to BS. I had a friend who, like, knew everything. He was, we'd call him. He had a home phone. And you'd go, like, who won the World Series? And when the internet came out, we never heard from him again. No one called him.
Because he was wrong.
We didn't need him anymore.
Yeah, right, we didn't need him anymore.
And he could have been wrong. But I think I think Joe's not used to people verifying
any story. Any story. He's in a Puerto Rican neighborhood. You know, I was born to a Puerto Rican family. Yeah. Anything that happens. I was waiting for him to say, you know, I come from a family of cicadas. You know, I was waiting for him to say something like that.
Yeah.
That's Jamie Lissau over there. He's going to be at the Funny Bone in St. Charles tonight. Last time you were here, we invited you to stick around for the Wheel of Audio Clips. Would you mind doing that?
Of course.
All right. That's the great Jamie Lissau. That was so stupid. We shouldn't have played those for him. This is about him.
It's not
about
us. Did a great job.
It's about him.
I was very impressed.
It's still about him. We're gonna be talking about the show again.
I also can't say negative things, but I did actually like it. I'm kind of a people pleaser, but I really did enjoy it. It was great. I have trouble giving negative feedback of any kind, but I did love it.
You patronizing me?
No. I'm just being honest.
Because he does that to me every day. Patronizes me every day. He hated it. Oh, my God.
It was great.
A great comedian. Didn't like her stuff.
It was amazing. You guys are great.
That sucks.
I can tell the way he was laughing. I can tell the way he was listening to it. He liked it.
Whatever. Jamie Lissau. Wheel of Audio Clips with Jamie next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Why can't Democrats say the word? It wasn't an insurrection, but why can't they say the word?
Let's talk about the fact that President Trump incited an erection.
You know what? When you have a comedian in the room, you really find out how unfunny you are.
Vic, the other day, Biden, did you hear him? He goes, hey, when was January 6th again?
Right.
It's just...
Was that in January?
It's so bad. And, you know, we were joking about how he inserts himself into every story, but he truly does, no matter what he's doing. If a truck rolls by, I drove a truck.
Yeah. I used to be a wheel. Whatever it takes.
Steering or rubber? Jamie Lissau, he's at the St. Charles Funny Bone tonight and tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Two shows each night?
Yeah, and I believe tomorrow early is sold out, and tonight... Right before I came on here, I think we had 4 tickets left to tonight. And so we're limited tickets available, as they say.
We went to see you last time you were in, and the place was packed. The place was absolutely packed. Same house.
I might have told you, but this was the first place where I went on Gutfeld, and then I didn't know if people... I didn't know. You don't know what's going to make people come to your show. I had a TV show on Netflix. No one came to my comedy show. Like, I thought that would be, oh my God, it's going to be packed. And it was like a little bit of a bump, but nothing significant. And I walked into the St. Charles Funny Bone, and there's a huge line outside, and I'm not trying to be funny. I go, oh, I wonder what's going on. And it was all these people. And when I walked in, they all were like yelling and I was like, whoa, this was the first place where I walked in on a Thursday night and it was packed wall to wall, and they were there from Gutfeld. And I go, whoa, this is different. Because I performed in St. Charles before Gutfeld, it's just no one else was there. It's just me.
Just you in an empty house?
Yeah, this is way better.
Yeah.
Not as much room to stretch out, but real fun.
Were you going to say something?
No.
Okay. So we asked you to stick around for the Wheel of Audio Clips. You still agreeing to that?
Absolutely.
You having a good time? You having fun?
I'm having a great... Vic, I love your show. You guys are great. I was very looking forward to coming in this morning. Awesome. I really was.
That's such awesome. A liar. That's great. Okay, let's go.
Wheel of Audio Clips!
It's America's favorite game show, The Wheel of Audio Clips. Here's the host of Wheel of Audio Clips, Vic Forselli.
Thank you, Jim Hausman, very much. Studio audience, thank you. Ladies, thank you.
Ladies love me. You know, I was born a lady. No.
You're right.
It's another story. Leave it alone.
That's what Joe would say.
Yeah.
He was a woman, right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right, so what we do, this is kind of a lot of stations do this. They'll say, hey, let's play the best audio clips of the week, and then they just do them. We're just trying to have a little fun with it.
Maybe, I like this format.
And a couple of weeks ago, we even gave Pat Sajak a final spin of the wheel because he's leaving. Did you ever notice on the Wheel of Fortune, okay, let's give the wheel a final spin. Mm-hmm. It never lands on bankrupt, ever. Isn't that an odd coincidence that
you're having? The final spin, yeah.
The final spin never lands on bankrupt. That's interesting. I'd love to see him spin the wheel and say, okay, why don't you just write a check out to Wheel of Fortune?
Isn't Pat like really, he's like an expert at that wheel though? Can he hit whatever he wants? I feel like he's got some skills.
That's a good
probably,
point.
Yeah.
He knows how to spin it.
That's the best gig in the world, by the way, is game show host. Best gig in the world. Drew Carey didn't want to host the, The president. He didn't really want to do it. And then like his people kept going. He's like, I don't want to host a game show. I heard this directly from his manager. And he was like, he didn't really want to do it. And then they kept upping how much money they were offering. Finally, he goes, all right, fine, I'll do it. And he does it. And he goes, this is amazing.
Yeah. How I love can you it. Not?
You can be funny every day, like new material. You're being able to meet people and chat. And it also, sometimes the whole thing films in 3 months for the whole year.
That's right.
Best gig in the world.
They do two shows a day. I would love it. I would love to be. Actually, I'd rather be the guy that, you know, turtle wax for that hard as a shell shine.
You'd be good at that. Thanks. A brand new car.
Right. Brand new car.
The guy that goes, come on down, he's my friend. And he came to my show the other day.
He's from St. Louis.
Come on.
George,
Gray?
What's his name?
Oh, so this is Gray, the new guy.
George Gray, he's from St.
George
Louis.
George Gray's from St. Louis?
I believe he is.
That's amazing. He came to my show the other day. I brought him up on stage and he said a bunch of fun stuff.
I'm surprised he took the gig, you know. Johnny Olsen, heart attack, died.
Oh, yeah.
Rod Roddy, some crazy cancer, died. I'd be like, that job took a couple of my friends. I'm not doing it. Yeah. All right. So we put all the, we don't even have time for any of this. Let's play a couple and then we're done. All right. Spin the wheel. Yeah, I love The Price is Right. Favorite show. I got to interview Bob Barker one time, too. He told me a couple of secrets. Always pick El Cheapo.
Right?
The car thing. Oh, my goodness. It landed on Lord Fauchquad.
And when people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
I believe that was a lie, Jamie.
That turned out to not be true, Vic.
Turned out to not be true.
Yeah.
No matter how many boosters you get. You're not gonna
get infected. We're going to have you wear 3 masks. Actually, 0 masks. We're going to go with 2 masks. It was incredible.
But they're really criticizing science because I represent science.
Yes, you do. Isn't it amazing, though, that medicine has become political?
It is.
You know? I mean, it's crazy. The left loves Fauci. We know he was lying. There's the war.
I honestly, I'm not even making a joke. I don't understand. When they say follow the science, I don't know what they mean because I think following the science contradicts
science.
He said. Yeah. Right?
Well, yeah, science is an ongoing process.
Right. It's keep experimenting over and over again. That's science.
A theory is meant to be tested and questioned, and you don't just pick your thing and stick with it for it's mind-blowing, right? I don't know, the whole thing's infuriating.
Completely mind-blowing. Do we have time for one more?
Do you know they just recently came out and said that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, they said that Johnson & Johnson was equally as effective as one of those circular Band-Aids. Just wearing it.
Sheer strip?
Yeah.
Just sheer strip, those. Yeah. All right, that's all the time we have for the Wheel of Audio Clips. Thanks for listening. This is Vic Porcelli saying, help control the liberal population. Have your liberal spayed or neutered. Goodbye, everybody. Jamie Lissau, always great to see your face,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, guys. Great to see you guys.
Really like you.
We'll do it again.
One day, take that Gutfeld outside and beat the crap out of him.
Hey, Vic, we got time, man.
Time for what?
You got a little time. I want to talk about it, where he's playing again and, you know.
Wasn't that what I was just doing?
I don't know. I wasn't listening.
Are you going to thundersteal everything?
Yes, I
let him know who you are. Let Jamie know who you are.
Okay.
Ken Thundersteeler.
Steals my thunder all the time. Anyway, tonight and tomorrow night, St. Charles Funny Bone. Different layout, by the way. The St. Charles Funny Bone laid out completely differently than the Westport Funny Bone.
Yeah.
And I like the St. Charles look. It really is kind of a Vegas kind of a look.
I think I am partial to the St. Charles Funny Bone as well. I don't know if it's just because of the people coming out and packing the place, and so I have good memories, but I love it there. Last night was one of like the most fun shows I've had in years, and I try to do totally different material from the last time. I've been here 3 times. Last night it was all different than any other time I've ever been here. So
I don't know how you do it. I watched Nate Bargatze, and he you know, did Saturday Night Live, did a completely different thing. Never heard those jokes before, and I thought I had heard them all. I don't know how you guys do it.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll do the same material, but I wear a different shirt. But
maybe this shirt will make it funnier than last week's shirt.
It helps, though, to be things in your life happen, and then you get, like, now I'm engaged, so I have, and I'm dating a doctor, so a lot of jokes about that. And then it helps you figure out when you wrote them, because you go, I didn't even know her.
You're getting married again. That's like going to prison, being released, and then going back to prison voluntarily. That's what
it is. I always feel like, you just made me think, I feel like when you have a kid that's young, and when he gets older, and then you have another kid with a 10-year span, I feel like you're getting out of prison, and on the way out, you stabbed a guy.
JB, we love having you, man.
Thanks, Jamie.
Have fun tonight, guys. Tomorrow night, St. Charles Funny Bone with the great Jamie Lissau. Can we thank him for having the record player on at night?
Hell yeah.
Go ahead.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
When he got elected with a line like that. We'll see you Monday, 9 o'clock on 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home, Jamie Lissau, everybody.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.